Before we get started, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the shocking, tragic situation involving the owners of Traveler's Table. Last Monday, May 4th, Matthew Mitchell murdered his wife, T, and their two children before taking his own life. In 14 years of writing about restaurants in Houston, I can't recall a more unfathomable occurrence or more heinous crime. My thoughts are with all of you who knew, liked, respected, and loved T and her family. I knew T and Matt as business owners and professionals. I respected what they created with Traveler's Table, how they took an unlikely concept, a restaurant that serves food from all over the world, and turned it into a highly successful restaurant that became a place where lots of people like to go to celebrate special occasions. That makes sense. Traveler's Table literally has something for everybody. I also admired the culture they created. Many of the employees at Traveler's Table worked their way through the ranks to become managers or senior cooks. Some of them moved to Traveler's Cart. I know providing those opportunities for people is something that both Matt and T were very proud of. Both restaurants remain open, and they deserve our support. Their employees still have their jobs. They don't deserve to suffer because of a decision that can't be justified, something none of us will ever understand. Again, my thoughts are with everyone who knew and loved T and her children. Thanks for letting me share a few thoughts. Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a Houston restaurant you may want to try. With that, let me bring in my co-host. She is the owner of Heights Grocer and Montrose Grocer. Mary Clarkson, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Thanks for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week, starting with topic number one. Copenhagen-based coffee shop, cafe, and juice bar, Joe and the Juice, is coming to the Uptown Park development this summer. I have to admit, I don't know that much about Joe and the Juice. I read a little bit. They are known for their viral tuna cotto sandwich that's made with tuna, avocado, pesto, and tomatoes. I know Sean the Food Sheep put out a couple of posts on either Instagram or Threads that he's been to locations of Joe and the Juice in LA and elsewhere, and he really likes it. So Mary, I'm throwing it to you. You get out of town a little more often than I do. Do you know any, have you heard of Joe and the Juice? Have you been to a Joe and the Juice? What do you think about this?
I certainly do try to get out of town. I have heard of it. I have not been to one. I mean, they've got 362,000 followers, so they're not guessing, right? They obviously have a following and a little run club that they do. So I think this location in Uptown close to Memorial Park is probably a good thing. It looks, you know, it looks very youthful and super friendly, like just user friendly. And I think Uptown has a lot of complimentary concepts to this. So I think this is a good place to be. You're near Galleria Travelers. You know, a lot of people that come to Houston from out of town, most people stay Galleria area or downtown. So I think they'll get a lot of national and international travelers as well. And it's cute, right? In this whole Instagram generation, it like reminds me a little bit of Erewhon in LA. You know, it's got a similar kind of aesthetic, you know, cute, young, hip people. So
yeah, I think that's right. And Sean's point basically is that this is like going to a coffee shop with food you'd actually want to eat. You know, the contrast obviously mm-hmm. with Starbucks, which serves food that no one wants to eat and shouldn't eat, probably, in my opinion.
Correct.
You know, like it's like it exists, but why would you? And obviously we have plenty of coffee shops locally owned that have good food programs. You know, Blacksmith comes to mind off the top of my head. Boomtown has always had pretty good food. There's Pies at Little Dreamer. There are local coffee shops that take a lot of pride in their food, but it's good to see kind of a national or an international, in this case, chain come in that has that commitment to quality. And, you know, I think it's an interesting addition for Uptown Park, which has a ton of restaurants kind of at all price points, right? Like if you want to go more fine dining, there's, you know, Lombardi or M&S Seafood or Etoile. you know, if you want something more casual, there's Urbe.
Urbe is my favorite. I love how casual it is.
Yeah. Urbe's great. It's super fun. It's pretty affordable. And you get that, you know, that Hugo Ortega credibility that comes with going to Urbe. So I think this is a good addition. The only thing is that they're not saying where in the development it's going, which makes me wonder if it's replacing an existing tenant and they're just not ready to announce that existing tenant is closing.
That's a good hunch.
So I'm not going to speculate which existing tenant is closing.
Come on.
Because that seems irresponsible and deeply unfair. But more to come on this, obviously. But
continued.
I guess to know Joe and the Juice apparently is to love Joe and the Juice. So we'll all get to know them whenever they open sometime in this. I think it's the summer. It could be the fall. You never know. And then just briefly, I want to move on to topic number two. Mike Sammons and Chef Fernando Rios, the owners of Mimo, have opened La Rosa, their new sandwich and gelato shop. It's in that same development in the East End where Mimo is. It's a real simple kind of affair. There's four tables inside with a little counter, a couple of tables outside. They serve three sandwiches and then gelato from Sweet Cup Gelato. Mary, you've been there. I've been there.
Woo!
You know, we've known, you know, you've known Mike going back to the, you know, the history of 13 Celsius. And
I have known Mike since he was a bar back at DeMarco since I was 18. I know this man. I love him.
All right. And then, you know, I've known Fernando since he was the sous chef or chef de cuisine or whatever at Weights and Measures. And then obviously he's gone on to do Mimo with Mike. We've had them on the show. So, you know, we're fully in the tank for Mimo, for Mike, and for Chef Fernando. But say something to the people about La Rosa.
I will say something, and I will say something nice. I do not understand.
First time for everything.
Ooh, hold your breath. I do not understand, and you can object with me, make an objection, but I don't understand why this town cannot do sandwiches well everywhere. Like, this town should be overflowing, plentiful, so many yummy sandwich spots. And I swear to God, we are the most lacking city for our size and our scale to not have more delicious sandwich spots.
This comes up on a pretty regular basis. It's one of the things people love to
hate about
the Houston food scene. We don't have good sandwiches.
We don't have enough good sandwiches. How about that?
Right. So here's the thing, right? We as a city, like as a dining culture, are not that interested in kind of East Coast style hoagies, like the classic Italian subs that are essentially a dime a dozen at any, like in any town
major
on the East Coast.
Major metropolitan area, yeah.
Right. These kind of sandwiches are everywhere. We don't really have them. We have good sandwiches. We have banh mi, we have tortas, we have burgers. We have tacos, which are not a sandwich, but are
burgers are not a sandwich. I love you, but that's not.
I understand, but protein wrapped in a bread like substance. You know, there's stuff like there's a million banh mi and a million tortas, and there's not really very many East Coast hoagies, and the ones that exist are like notable just for their existence, and
or
even
European style sandwiches, which arguably is where everything should start. But that's just personal preferences. Like, hello.
Right. Right. We don't have, and we don't like, you know, even for like kind of classic deli, you know, there's Mandola Deli, there's Kenny and Ziggy's, there's Nielsen's, but like, it's a short list after that. So I get it. And La Rosa certainly is like this kind of Italian style, like very distinct in that they're using this Titella bread from El Bulio instead of like focaccia or a more explicitly Italian bread, but it kind of goes. It kind of works because it makes the bread like a less assertive part of the sandwich and just kind of lets the meat and the cheese and the toppings shine through, which works for me just fine.
I like the juxtaposition. I think it's like a nice riff, you know, it's the unexpected bread, good bread for someone who does sell sandwiches at Montrose Grocer and more classic French style, European style. Good bread in this town is hard to find. So this is a neighborhood bakery that's close to them. It's easy for them to access. Like, it makes sense. The bread is always fresh. It's always delicious.
Right. And the bread is there. It's like, you know, when I was talking to Mike and Fernando about this, they're like, the bread is kind of it's not as assertive. It's not like, you know, like Winnie's makes a great po' boy, right? And they import mm-hmm. that Po' Boy bread from New Orleans because it's important to get the right texture and flavor for what they're trying to do. Like, this is more like, this is the bread as a platform, and we just don't want it to get, like, we want it to be good, but we also don't want it to be assertive. So that's kind of what they're doing with the bread. But, like, you know, even when we get like a pretty decent East Coast style or interesting sandwich concept, like, they don't last, right? Primo Hoagies, you know, I was super excited about Primo Hoagies when it came to town a couple of years ago. Both of those locations have closed. You know, I'm talking on Thursday, I'm going to talk to Christopher Wong of Narwhal Jousting Club. When he opened that, it was sandwiches, and they pivoted to burgers because they had one of their options was a burger, and that's all anybody really wanted to buy from them. So just like as a city, as a collective group of diners, like, we're just not that interested in sandwiches. And so the sandwich exceptions, you know, local foods or whatever, most notably, I suppose, are rare. And that's kind of what it is. Like,
we're just never gonna... local foods banh mi. That banh mi is delish.
Right. But that banh mi is also like a fusion-y, like, would never fly in Chinatown kind of banh. You know what I mean? Like, it's tasty.
I like the mix up.
Right. You like us, you're bougie. I mean, I love you, but you're bougie. Like, this is how it goes.
Okay. Hi, Lo. I'm Hi, Lo. And we meet in the middle at Slightly Bougie. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm thrilled for me. I'm thrilled for Mike. I'm thrilled for Chef Fernando. I like La Rosa. I had the mortadella sandwich, which is kind of their signature. And then I had the sandwich of the day, which on that particular day was like a cured beef of some sort. And then they do a veggie with their corn and zucchini fritters, which are great. Like, I love those at Mimo. So I'd be happy to try that. But they're only making like 100 sandwiches a day. And this has gotten like enough notoriety quickly enough that they've been selling out basically in an hour and a half.
No, 42 minutes, 42 minutes the other day. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Right. They've got to start making more sandwiches. I mean, that's really the only, that's really the whole point of this segment, Mary, is for me to gently chide our good friends. Like, I could text Mike, but this is more fun to gently chide him on this podcast and say, guys, this thing is a hit. Everybody loves the sandwiches. Buy more bread, buy more mortadella. Keep, like, the sandwich shop's supposed to be open from 12 to 3. Have enough ingredients to keep the thing going until 2 o'clock. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Our mutual friend Michael Fulmer was kind enough to share one bite of every sandwich he and his friend had ordered. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay with this, but I want to go back and have an entire sandwich to myself.
That's all we want is our own sandwich. So they just have to start making more sandwiches. You know, like, lean in, guys. Like, I'm sorry that this thing that you've been dreaming about for years is a smash hit, but you got to lean in. You got to make more sandwiches. Any other thoughts on this?
I mean, just everyone needs to run there. It's so good. I know Greater Eastwood area isn't always the most convenient for people, but this is a worthwhile spot. So seek them out. Go early if you can. If you can't make it on a weekday, go on the weekend. But I'm so happy for both Mike and Fernando. And as somebody who owns literally the smallest business, or one of the smallest businesses in town at 350 square feet, I love how small this space is. And I think this, for me, is what's right in dining right now. It's just super small, in the neighborhood, locally owned and operated, the best ingredients. You will not be disappointed.
Right. Very good. Mary, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Mary, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Exilio Latin Flair. This is the new restaurant from the owners of Bari Ristorante and Georgia James. It is located in the former Verde Garden space next to Katami, next to La Groia. And whereas, you know, Bari is Italian and Georgia James is steak, Exilio is kind of a like an extended pan-Latin concept. It also includes some Spanish and Portuguese elements. It's a little bit of everything. It's kind of designed to be a crowd pleaser. So, Mary, I'm just going to put it to you. What did you think of our meal at Exilio Latin Flair?
You know, of this restaurant group's restaurants, I will say that this was my favorite one that I have been to. I thought that all the food we had was really delightfully prepared. I've spent a bunch of time in Mexico before, and you know, they were definitely riffing on some dishes similar to Contramar, one of the fishes we had, and all of their appetizers were great. I was surprised. You know, a lot of times you and I go into restaurants and I'm like, you know, let's see how this goes. But exceeded expectations. I will genuinely say that.
Yeah, I've been very outspoken about, I did not have a good, the one and only time I went to Bari, and again, this was probably 2 or 3 years ago at this point, I didn't have a good experience and I just haven't made the effort to go back. But I've certainly been watching and seeing how popular it is. And, you know, certainly what they did at Georgia James to kind of make it a little less quirky and frankly better run has been very successful. And a restaurant that, you know, they turned that thing around and financially it's a better business and it's busy and all that. So, you know, these guys, they're smart operators. They clearly know what they're doing, but I wasn't sure necessarily what to think about, what to expect anyway from Exilio. And like you, I mean, I was pretty impressed. You know, this was hosted. They knew we were coming, all that stuff. And we kind of let them choose what to serve us. But I will say that we had some really good stuff. I mean, you know, that ribeye aguachile, kind of a riff on like a Latin-y tataki with the avocado spread, the pickled onions. I thought that was really tasty. You know, we did a ceviche that I really liked. We did a octopus cocktail that I enjoyed. You know, we really stomped through the menu. You know, one of the things that really stands out was that lobster empanada, you know, and it was, you know, a little bit unusual. And you know, I'm always a little bit dubious about lobster ravioli, lobster taco, lobster empanada, because a lot of times the lobster is chewy and that really ruins the whole point of the lobster, or there's so much stuff crammed alongside the lobster you can't taste the lobster. Not the case at Exilio, you know, like big pieces of lobster, you know, kind of simply adorned and really tasty. And so I think there was a lot to like about this meal.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, it sits between Le Greg and Katami and offers something different in the dining landscape of this kind of complex or whatever, this mixed use shopping area. And I think this is a good option for people that are out in and around this area and fills a void that doesn't exist right here. And it's a big enough space that I think people can treat it casually as a bar and some appetizers if they want to, or they can have a full meal there. I know we haven't been for brunch yet, but they were going to put a big emphasis on brunch. And I think, you know, that could really be another area that they succeed really well. So I would definitely, like, I will try brunch here with friends. I think it will be a fun spot.
Yeah, and I, you know, kind of looking back at my pictures from that day, I mean, that branzino that is with the red and green sauce is, you know, that is an iconic dish from Contramar and Entremar, and we're seeing it, right? Like Flora does a version of it, and you know, 1111 that I haven't been to yet, but like they're going to do a version of it. And I'm not surprised. I mean, we talked about this with Barsolo, you know, a few weeks ago, where, you know, Mexico City is one of the great dining cities in the world. It is a short flight from Houston. Lots of people from Houston go to Mexico City to eat and to shop and, you know, all the other touristy things. And so it's not surprising to me that, like, we're seeing Mexico City influence our dining culture more and more. You know, I mean, Casa Emma is essentially, you know, a Mexico City breakfast and lunch cafe dropped into the Heights. And it's fantastic. And I love that it's here.
One of my favorites.
Right down the street from Heights Grocer. So it's not a surprise to see a new restaurant like Exilio going, oh, okay, well, we'll do the Mexico City style ribeye taco with the, you know, the thick slice of ribeye with the avocado. We'll do the Contramar two sauce fish filet. Like, I think that all makes sense. And I think you basically acknowledge the influence, and then you judge it by whether or not it tastes good. And in this case, it did. You know, the shrimp was moist and flaky, and the sauces were distinct, and you know, I really enjoyed it. So, you know, I'm into this, basically, is what I'm saying.
Very good.
Yeah, no, and just to finish your thought, yes, they're open for lunch, they're open for brunch, they're open for dinner. I think this would be a fun brunch spot.
We are a brunching town, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got that nice patio, and I'm sort of looking at the brunch menu right now. You know, they have a couple of Benedicts, they have plantain fritters with fried chicken. That sounds like a fun alternative to chicken and waffles. They've got all your egg dishes, huevos rancheros, huevos de Versada, lobster omelet, breakfast tacos, waffles with berry coulis and cinnamon cocoa and tres leches French toast. Yeah, that all sounds good to me. I could see us having some fun with that along with some cocktails. Again, I would say the service was very accommodating. They were not very busy on the night we went, and they knew who we were. So take that with a grain of salt. But I would say that Bari's success at River Oaks District, I think, illustrates that they know how to take pretty good care of people, because that is a very demanding customer base.
Yes, it is. And I think, yeah, they absolutely knew who we were and everything else, but service was attentive and watching the room. Like, I think they actually execute service better than a lot of concepts. And that is one of the things that I certainly look for when we dine out. Like, food can be, I think for a lot of people, food can be at a base level or above, and okay, great. But for me, if the service is bad, it shapes your entire experience. So very pleased to have good service here. And I think anyone who would go here in the future would have good service as well.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else on Exilio Latin Flair?
No, sir. Other than we're celebrating your birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday on the show, for those to know that it was your birthday this week.
Well, what you should say is, since we're recording on Monday, but the party is Tuesday. So if people are listening to this and they want to join us at Montrose Grocer
from
5 to 7, I will be there and I will be drinking wine. And if you choose to come to Montrose Grocer, and you're listening to this, you're certainly welcome to. And all I'll say in advance is I'm very sorry about the parking.
You can park on the side street, Eric, or you can also valet at Anvil. All right. It's not hard to park, but thank you. And I love that you think your party is going to be done at 7. That's cute.
Well, I thought maybe we'd go out to dinner. Like, we'll see who's left and maybe we'll go out to dinner. Like, I don't know.
Yes. Well, anyway, happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, Mary. All right. I'm going to say that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Christopher Wong from Narwhal Jousting Club.